Good morning. On this 10th day of July, the year 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on a most beautiful Saturday in Los Angeles, welcome to the webcast. Rainbow, sung to you by the California Wave Wizards. That's right. That's the only information I have. Thank you for coming to my website. And I'm so glad that you could join me on this wonderful, wonderful Saturday morning. And what a wonderful Saturday morning it is. In my readings and gatherings of good words over the years, I come across this nice little statement by Joel Alston, Storyline. I like this. And this is what he said. And I'm yet contributing to this dedication to good, strong men as opposed to the males. I haven't put another webcast up since I put that one up because I think that it was dynamic and that it really showed us where the problem is in our lives today. Joel Alston was an advocate or an activist for men and fathers. He's a writer from the Philadelphia chapter of Mocha Moms Incorporated years ago, and MahoganyBaby.com. He is a powerful speaker, the president of Daddy University City Incorporated. Wow, all of that, right? Well, what would he ask of us as men? I think that's a proper thing to look towards. Here this month in July, I'm going to have a house guest for a couple of days. He's coming in from Florida, and he's going to spend a few days. And he's up in age like me, not as broad as I am in age, but we're going to have some discussions over the mic, and we're going to be talking about those things. But Joel would ask this. He would ask that us men consider the words of this brother as he attempts to identify helpful traits that will enable you, not disable you, but enable you to be the kind of leader in the home and the business, because that's very important for us. He would ask that we would participate in the discussions that will take place after we go through a segment of lectures, because he was taking his people through these lectures. All of us need to hear from all of us. I like that statement. There's no shame at our not understanding what is involved in being men. And there isn't. There really isn't. Some men don't know what it means to be a man. I had my friend contact me all the way from across the oceans. He said he listened to it. And, excuse me, but he told me, he said he discovered that he is not a man, a man, that he is just a male. That was powerful for me to hear this from this man. And I'm glad, because if I did that webcast and I got one response like that, that one response was indeed a damn good response for me. See, parenting has become more of a challenge today because the situations that our children come up against are not only harmful but deadly to your child. It's almost a death sentence being a young black male or Hispanic male or a white male in this society here. If you don't know exactly where you are and how you're supposed to wade through the waters, let's put it that way, just keep it plain. We've always had drugs in our society. We've always had a certain amount of violence and sexually transmitted diseases. But this is a day and age where the drugs are so strong that they will not only harm your child, but they harm the whole family. They make everything change. I live in an area, as a matter of fact, a businesswoman came by to visit me yesterday trying to sell me solar. Mm-hmm. She was pushing this thing, man. You need to buy this program because they're gonna up the DWP, is gonna up your deal here, and I'm already paying over $300 every time the bill comes in. And she says, "Don't you want cheaper?" And I said, "Well, of course I do." But they were trying to push the sale too much. And I said, "Nah, I'm not gonna do it." She needed me to sign this over the internet contract. I said, "Nah, I gotta check up on your company." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because you're pushing too hard." See what I mean? Like a drug dealer, pushing something too hard. Don't try to take advantage of me because I'm a senior citizen. I'm not brain dead. And she said, "Oh, I spent all this time here and you tricked me." And I said, "I didn't trick you." And she said, and she kept holding on to my license. I said, "Give me my license. You don't need that. That's my license number. That's me." I know what they're trying to do. She had a thing rigged on her phone where she's trying to get all my information off of my license and all that. And I says, "No, I'm not going to go that way. And I'm not going to sign that because I'm a man. I'm not a male. I'm not easily taken in by things like that. Not even of the drug of solar energy over the Department of Water and Power from the city of L.A. And let me comment on the violence. Violence isn't somewhere in college, far away. But violence today is in our backyard. And the gun is in elementary school. You see the, man, when this brother wrote this piece, the gun was just being discovered in the elementary schools. Now, these kids are now 20, 23 years old. And so we see the results of this situation not being properly cared for in our community. And now some of the sexually transmitted diseases are not curable. And a new strand will kill you in 6 months to 2 years. But thank God, since then we had the pills and drugs that we can take to keep us from dying like that. But this brother was concerned about it back east, like I'm concerned about it all over our nation. We've upgraded the fear that we constantly address the negative. Okay, this is where intelligent men come in, because our news media and everything else are all hyperventilating on things that keep us up in an atmosphere where we need to learn how to come down for ourselves. We are planting and raising seeds that become apples. And you know what? When you really look at our young people, they are taken to the gates of the prison. And life is saying, is this where you want to be staying? Because if you look at what they're looking at and listening to what they're listening to, they're attempting to be cool today. You can't be cool that way. We have to bring a very clear picture, because we have so many pictures to believe in these days. And we can't become frustrated when you tell your sons and daughters not to do something because you know the outcome, when it's going to be a bad one, and what would happen if they don't turn away from that particular outcome. And those of us that are parents having our children now, I want to say this right now. There was a time when the parent was very influential in the life of the child. But now, oh, what a beautiful breeze coming in the window of the Lucy Coleman studio as my flags are flying outside of my window right now. It is just a marvelous day in Los Angeles. I just feel like shutting the webcast down and doing no more. I want to quote from another man, though. David C. Miller. At the time that David C. Miller wrote this, he was a 30-something educator, social entrepreneur, and community activist. He has written and developed life-transforming programs for young and adolescent African-American males, which help them, amongst other things, to redefine manhood, to challenge the current myths and stereotypes about masculinity. This is a black man writing about this. And I found these words to be very influential. David says that one of the most important yet undervalued human emotions is love. Now, I've been saying that for years. But people, what they do is they mistake my terms for love to mean something other than what they are meant to be. Throughout time, love has repaired relationships, love has ended family disputes, and even helped parents get through the hard times. And that's a good statement, because when the parents just throw up their hands and said, oh, hell, I give up. Well, no, we don't want you to do that. Hey, let's listen to some more music. I'll be back in a little bit, okay? In just a little bit. Let's continue to listen.
Bumdog Selector.
Good number. And that's by Michael Franti and Spearhead. Yeah, it goes good with the theme me talking about love. Love always will be the universal emotion that all of us seek, regardless of what color we are, what particular financial class we find ourselves in, or the demographics where we live. Love works. And when we begin to explore the notion of a daddy's love, this becomes an important emotion that must be factored into raising healthy boys and girls, but especially healthy boys. there has not been a health syndrome enough in order for us to raise our sons in. The love between a father and a son can be a priceless thing because you just can't. I recall a friend of mine would call me from the Carolinas and he said, John, my sons are making me tweak. I said, no, they're becoming men. And you have to learn how to deal with that because they're no longer children. In many respects, the power of love can be witnessed when you see a father helping his son complete a task for the first time. Remember when you taught him to ride that bike, that two-wheeler? Remember when you got in the swimming pool with him and said, I got you, but I'm going to let you go, and you're going to float on your back? See, my daddy never got in the pool and did that with me. It was a coach at Jordan High School. I was in the 10th grade. I couldn't swim. And they took the boys' gym class down to Will Rogers Park. And they had a swimming pool there. As a matter of fact, I think it's still there. It may be an inside pool now. But he took me in and he says, all the boys that can't swim. And there was about five or six of us. And I forget the coach's name, but he stood up and backed me. I had on my Jordan High School, my blue high school shorts, gym shorts, and a T-shirt. And he had his hands on my shoulders. And he said, hold your breath. And before I could think, he grabbed me and jumped me in the pool 10 feet. 10 feet of water, boy. I held my breath. I'm laughing at it because I thought about it. I was scared to death. You hear me? But he told me, hold your breath. And I remember, man, were you there when your boy got his first A on his spelling test? When he first rode a bike? When he made his first shot in the basketball court? Were you there? Did you see his face? The boy's going to be good, isn't he? Don't throw away a black man. Don't throw him away. Don't do that. Don't do that. In many instances, we underestimate the power of a loving father through the media's negative portrayals that tend to regard the role of fathers as merely breadwinners. Daddy's working. He puts the food on the table. I remember that because my daddy did that for me too. But there was more than that. More than that. I listen to the babies across the street. I see two men painting the fence around the house while the little baby of the youngest man plays in the front yard. What a wonderful scene. As I do this webcast, I remember when the younger man first came to this country. I recall he was just a baby. And they raised that man. God, that was beautiful. And they're both painting the fence. This portrayal minimizes father to a paycheck versus the human beings capable of showing love towards other males. It's not just making the paycheck that makes you a man. Mm-mm. It's the way you love the other male. Love is a fundamental emotion that we need to reduce the likelihood that our sons will fill up jail cells, fill up recovery houses, fill up cemeteries. We have to get this negativity out of our minds completely. Remove them. This man wrote a book called Lessons I Learned from My Father. It's a collection of quotes from men of African descent. It is an empowering and soulful work that humanizes men and fathers. and takes us away from that. It was a streaming example back in the day. I remember the guy's name was Jamie Neito. That's N-I-E-T-O. The storyline went like this. Jamie wrote in 2004. And this is interesting because this is so many years. Jamie is grown man now. He said, if you're like me, the millions of other Americans who were glued to their television sets during the 2004 Olympic Games, you may have gotten a glimpse of Jamie Neito as he completed the high jump. Okay, Neito is a graduate of Eastern Michigan University and one of only three African-American high jumpers in the Olympic trials back in the day, okay? The Olympic finals, that is. And he placed fourth in the high jump of jumping 7 feet, 8 inches. Wow, that's some leap. It really is. Listen to what he writes. He writes and he says, so much of my time is spent training and traveling, which doesn't allow me much time to hang with my friends. However, Neito looked ahead with enthusiasm. I plan to participate in the 2008 Olympic Games, but for now, I'm focusing on 2005 World Games, which was held in Finland. You know where Finland is? That'd be a nice research thing for daddy and son to look at a globe and find Finland. Neito was not only an Olympian, but he was a mature, spiritually grounded, pleasant, and caring young man. You know, that's where it is. Yeah. His desire to give back to his community is evident in his working with the children or the youngsters of his community. I don't know where he is today. It's been many years since this article was put up and since I'm quoting to you off of a PowerPoint presentation that I put together for an all-men's retreat so many years ago. I have no idea where he is now. But Jamie wrote and he said, I love to give back to the community and I love to work with kids. That's a gift. I, as an older man, love to work with younger men. Man, I got to take a picture of this because you will not believe me. You won't be able to see their faces, and that's good. So I'm not worried about that. But I have got to take this picture of what I'm looking at outside of here, and so that you can see it yourselves. All right. I'm going to try to Well, I hope that too. I just had to take a picture of this father and son painting the fence white. It's just a beautiful picture of love. It is. Neito speaks at many of the community service clinics and works for organizations that help young men and their fathers strengthen their relationships and relate to each other. Now, this is years ago. And he says, I love being around kids, and I love when they ask me funny questions like, can you jump over me? The innocence of the question is amazing. And of course, he had a faith in God that shined brightly. He turned 28 in November of 2004, so you can imagine he is a very mature man now. He has overcome many professional and personal obstacles But he boldly professes his personal relationship with God that has given him, and I like what he calls it, inner strength to believe in himself and to achieve his goals. That young man did not have today in our culture. You don't have that inner strength to achieve goals. As I speak to them, they say, well, it was easy for you. It wasn't easy for me to get up every day of my life and to go to work from this house to the various places in the city. I recall days like this. I would work on Saturdays, and if a traffic signal went out on a major intersection and I was working as a traffic officer, I was the first officer to handle the radio call from the police department when they say, and will any traffic officer go to, let's say, Wilshire and La Brea to direct traffic? The traffic lights are out and traffic is a mess. If you know anything about Wilshire Boulevard, it's called the Miracle Mile in Los Angeles. It's one of the richest streets in Los Angeles, the commercial buildings and everything. And now they have these new condos and apartments coming up all around the area. And as I drive through there, because I still drive my car, and I see the improvements that the city has made. Oh, my goodness. Things happen to distract you. But Nito says that he is able to keep his mind on God when the things distract him. Now, you may be an atheist or an agnostic, and you don't believe in God. Okay, believe in the mountains. Believe in a billy goat. Believe in a turtle. Believe in a frog. Believe in a rock. Believe in a flag. Believe in yourself. God is in all that. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. He said that he has learned to put more faith in God instead of in himself. And there again, this can only take place when you have your heart and mind focused in that area. He says, and I'm not going to let negativity keep me from what God has for me. Sometimes we call this negativity the devil. Sometimes we call it other things. But he said he is not going to allow that to keep him from doing his best. And then I had a picture of him right before he went on to make that famous jump. Boy, what a great, great story. And the story is only one of many. I want to thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for those of you that are working hard at it. Working hard at spending time with that young fella. I recall a couple of weeks ago I was here in my home and a young man came by. He was on crutches. I think I told you about him. He had a motorcycle, a Kawasaki. That thing slipped from under him. He just tore his knee up. And I was telling him that he has to be very careful because when you don't... here's a young man that contacted me. I just contact him back. Sometimes appointments are broken, you know. I have appointments with people and they break the appointments. And then they call me. He just contacted me. What time was that? About an hour or so ago. and just contact me back. So I'll just contact him, give him some positive advice on life. One thing is to be, timely in answering back. So I'll leave that as it is. Let's see. I'm trying to maneuver something to show you. All right. There. Okay, I think I've done it. And I think that, I got the shot that I wanted. And I got the time to talk with you today on this wonderful Saturday morning. And I hope that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, that your day will be full of extending a very healthy hand to people that need that encouragement. Bless you. You take care of yourself, and I'll be talking real soon.